Joshua chapter 13 will be our text. And let's just look at verse number 1 to introduce us to this passage of Scripture. I got to admit, the first part of this verse, it seems a little humorous. Like God might be ribbing Joshua a little bit here. Now Joshua was old and stricken in the years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. When I am preaching through a passage of Scripture, I often take a portion of that text and end up making that the title of my message. And today I chose a portion of this text to be my title. There in verse number one, it says at the very end, yet very much land to be possessed. But if I could give another title that I think would be a good theme for this message, I would also use this one of finish strong. Finish strong. I hardly ever do this. Hopefully it works out all right. I got a little video clip I want you to see of a guy that did not finish strong. All right, I think it's only about 30 seconds. Let's watch this.
Maybe next time wait that extra second before celebrating. A college track star learned the dangers of premature celebration. The runner from the University of Oregon thought he had the race locked up, started waving, pumping up the crowd, and he was passed by a runner from the University of Washington
in
the
final
seconds, not just the final seconds.
Oh, no.
The difference was a tenth of a second. The University of Washington wins. Yeah, just a bit of a disappointment there.
That guy will never, ever do that again, will he? You know, sometimes we can lose focus in the race. He thought he'd already won. He thought it was over. He's already premature celebrating. And that guy came in there and won by 1/1000th of a second. In this series of messages through Joshua, this is our 11th message, we have recently been focusing on the enemies of the believer. We've been hitting that several weeks in a row now, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And last week I emphasized that this is a daily battle, that every day we go against these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a constant series of battles. And we've seen that now highlighted throughout the book of Joshua. In fact, we ended chapter 12 last week. Look at the very last verse of chapter 12. It says, "And the king of Tirzah won, and all kings 30 and won." Now let me just catch you up. If you're not sure what that means, that means there were 31 battles, 31 victories, 31 kings and their kingdoms defeated that Joshua and the children of Israel have faced. And so they've had all these victories, and chapter 13 certainly does begin in an interesting fashion. And again, if you are or were reading this book for the very first time and you pause through the middle of verse number 1, you might think the Lord is about to give Joshua his retirement papers. Again, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. You know, if we just paused there and we had to turn the page, maybe you're thinking the Lord's going to say, good job. Here you go. Go take the rest of your time and relax and just enjoy yourself. But he says, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And so he wasn't saying you're done. He was saying, hey, you're old, you're stricken in years, and there's still work to be done. Now, I'm not here today preaching a message against retirement. If you're getting near those years or in those years, congratulations. I'm glad for you. I'm not even here against preaching against a pastor or a missionary or a preacher that at a certain stage in their life, they change their role for that particular season of their life. That is oftentimes the will of God and the best thing for that person and for the ministry. One of our missionaries out of our church right now, the Hamiltons, Alan and Elizabeth, they are contemplating that very thing, have been very open. They're at a stage in their life. Can they continue to do what they've been doing on the mission field in the same fashion? Perhaps it's time for them to have a change in direction and a change in things. And so I'm not against retirement. I'm not against these things that I just mentioned here. But I do want you to know that no matter what stage of life you're in, there's still more land. There's still much land to be possessed. I don't think we ever retire spiritually, church. I don't think we ever say, okay, I've done my 20 years, my 30 years, my 40 years, I'm going to take... No, I think we continue on because there's much land to be possessed. And so what I'd like to accomplish this morning is to share with you a few thoughts on what God wants us to do and encourage us with three words today: focusing, trusting, and striving. Focusing, trusting, and striving. Number one this morning, focusing on what the Lord sees. Focusing on what the Lord sees. Again, we've read verse number one. Let's read verse two. He says, this is the Lord speaking, this is the land that yet remaineth. And he goes on a list here now in the next several verses, listing the lands here. But what I want us to notice is what God sees. This is the land. Can you imagine? He's just spoken these kind words to Joshua. Joshua, you're old and well stricken in years. There's much land that yet remaineth. And he begins to point it out to him. Perhaps they're looking over a horizon, or he directs Joshua's attention towards that distance of the horizon in one way or the other. And he's reminding him of these places that still need to be possessed. And so this morning I want us to learn in these days that we're in battles and we're living this Christian life that we need to focus on what the Lord sees. I've made this point multiple times in these series of messages that spiritual eyesight is far more important than physical eyesight. It's choosing what God sees rather than what man sees. See, when we focus on what I see and what I develop, we can become distracted and we lose our focus. Satan surely does want us to lose our focus today. He uses life, I believe. Let me give you just a few thoughts on how we can lose our focus just with life. First of all, there's the circumstances of life. We all have various circumstances of life. We have ups and downs in life. I mentioned this morning we have several families dealing with some health issues. I see the Belks are back with us today, and Celicia has had an awful time here recently with this accident. And it's part of life, though, isn't it? There's ups and downs in this. And if you're not careful, we can lose focus just simply from the ups and downs of life in our health, our finances, ups and downs. With the economy right now and how it might affect us and how we're going to live our lives there. And so the ups and downs, and then there's just the general day-to-day and week-to-week, month-to-month drama that comes in life, the circumstances of life, the busyness of life. Even the good things that we're busy in can cause us to lose focus. We can get distracted easily because I'm busy doing things and we lose our focus. How about your goals in your life? Are they keeping you focused on what God sees, or are they more for us? And are those goals God-honoring goals? And so this morning, as we consider this focusing on what the Lord sees, and you're in these daily battles, I want to ask you this morning, what remains in your life at this point in your life that God wants you to focus on? What is it that God wants you to possess? There's much to be possessed still. There's much to be victorious over still. And what is it in your life and in my life? Can I just bring some things to our attention today to more so not necessarily these specific things, but may they spur our thoughts and our minds to consider some things. How is your walk with God? I'm talking about your personal daily walk. Kat mentioned it this morning in her testimony. And how we can easily get distracted at times and lose that walk with God. How about your devotional life? How about your church attendance? How about your giving? How is your walk with God? Are you losing that focus or are you possessing that? How about an area of ministry? Last Sunday we had a ministry fair here. It was a good day. We had a lot of people show up into the ministry fair back there in the gymnasium, look at various things. But boy, what a disaster that would be if everybody went and looked and still did nothing about it. We want people to see what God's working in your heart and what you can do for the Lord and what He's convicting and leading you to do and being involved. Let's talk a little bit more personal here for a moment. I've talked to many people through the years and in various ministries. It's no different here than anywhere else. But I know a lot of believers, a lot of Christians struggle with bitterness. Holding on to things that maybe have happened years or decades earlier in their life and they've held on to that and it's kept a portion of your life from being surrendered to the Lord. Those are just some ideas, but I ask you this morning, what's the Lord convicting you about right now? I didn't mention it. I didn't come close to saying what it is, but the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart right now about your focus, about possessing these things that are still out there for us. And so number one this morning, focusing on what the Lord sees. Number two, as we go through this passage of scripture, we could get down to verse number 6. It says, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephatham and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. What I want you to see in that verse is the Lord saying, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. I've talked about this morning focusing on what the Lord sees. Secondly, we need to remember to trust in the Lord's word. Believe what God says. Have faith in God's word. Once again, we see the promise that the Lord is going to do the work for them. He says, I will drive these people out. We've seen it in the battle at Jericho. We saw it at Ai. We've seen it there with these various battles with these kings, that it was the Lord that won these victories. And he's saying it once again, there's much land still to be possessed. I will drive them out from before you. God is saying, trust me. Trust what I am asking you to do and telling you to do. It is true, God will call us to do some things that you and I could never, ever accomplish. But He'll never call you to do something that He cannot accomplish through us. See, the Lord often calls us to things that are beyond our capabilities, beyond what we could ever do. You read 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and you see the people and the individuals that God chooses to use. He uses the base and the foolish and the things of this world that are not. He uses those that struggle, but then He does great things through them. God says, trust me. Now here's what happens. When you see or experience God doing something in your life that you could have never done, but you trust Him anyways, you say, that's beyond me, but I'll do it anyways because God, you're leading me to do it. I'm going to trust you. You know what happens when you do that? Your faith grows. You're like, wow, God did that through me, and my faith grows. And then God will do more in you. He'll choose you again, and he'll do more within you. But what happens when you reject that? What happens when you say, I could never do that? I could never teach that class. I could never stand up there and give my testimony before the church. I could never. When you say no, your faith weakens. You begin to decrease in that area of faith, and God will not work through you. And so not only do we need to focus on what God sees, we need to trust the Lord's word. And then that leads us to our final thought here. It really is from chapter 13, verse 6, and we won't read it, through chapter 21. It is a time where land is divided up amongst the different tribes of Israel, the different children of Jacob, the tribe of Reuben and the Gadites and all these ones. They go to their various places, and this land is given to them. And so we're talking here in this third point of striving for spiritual inheritance. This is a profitable study, although we won't take the time in our study through Joshua to hit these chapters heavily, chapters 13 down through chapter 21. But I challenge you, do you remember in Genesis chapter 49 when Jacob was on his deathbed? Jacob has had his 12 sons, and he gathers them all around him, and he's going to tell them what's going to befall them and what's going to happen to them. It's an excellent study when you consider that. Use that study from Genesis 49 with what happens here in this divisions and these things of what takes place here in Joshua chapter number 13. It's a profitable and good study for you. Much can be gleaned from it. But here's one thing I took out of this, not just in this passage, but throughout the book of Joshua, the word inherit, inherited, and inheritance are used frequently. In fact, between the three of them, 51 times in the book of Joshua, you hear inheritance, inherit, inherited. And I think that's probably in most of us, if not all of us, that we would desire to leave something better for those, our children, that come after us. That would mean be something in our hearts, which, by the way, let me say this. Sometimes we work so hard to give our children something greater than we have, and we really, they lose something, don't they? They don't have the same work ethic, perhaps, the same appreciation that you got from working so hard for what you had. And so I'd encourage you to be careful with that. But again, there's a good thing to this of trying to leave something for those that come behind us. When I think about an inheritance for my family, I think, boy, financially, I hope they're not counting on a whole lot. I hope my boys aren't saying, boy, I can't, because it's not going to come to fruition most likely. But I can strive to leave my boys a spiritual inheritance. And every one of us can do that. That when I'm on my deathbed, Lord willing, my boys can stand around me and say, Dad, thanks for showing me how to live for God. Thanks for showing me how to love God and to serve God and to make God first. I trust that that happens because that's what I've lived my life. I know I could stand at my dad's deathbed today whenever that happens, and I could say, thank you, Dad. I was able to stand at my mom's deathbed just a few months ago and lean over and thank her for a great spiritual inheritance that she gave me. And we should all strive to leave a spiritual heritage. Focusing on what God sees, trusting the Lord's word, and striving for a spiritual inheritance. Why? Because there's much land yet to be possessed. God's not done with any of us. He's not calling us to rest until he calls us home. As long as you have breath in your lungs and life in your limbs, God wants you to possess the land that is out there. And so my encouragement to you today is to finish strong. Don't celebrate too early. Don't start waving your arms too early. I've shared this with you before. I'm in sixth grade. I'm at church camp, summer camp. Two teams against each other in this week of camp. It's a back and forth battle between my team and the other team, and one boy from their team challenged somebody from our team in a race around the track at this camp. They had a road that encircled the entire camp, and it was probably close to somewhere probably between a half mile and a mile around this track. It was pretty big camp, Pleasant Valley Ranch there in Ohio. And so somehow I got myself into this race. Now here's what I found out. That this young man that challenged in the race, that him and his dad, that was their hobby. They went running together every night. They jogged or ran several miles every night. My dad and I had a hobby too every night. It was eating popcorn and ice cream and drinking Pepsis every night. That was our pastime together. And now, if I could have challenged him in that contest, I probably would have won. But I got brought into this race, and as much as I would like to tell you there's some miraculous end that I ended up winning this race, that did not happen, all right? I got smoked. In fact, if you can imagine a complete circle, and here's the finish line, or the starting line and the finish line, I was over here when he was crossing the finish line. I mean, he just completely dominated me. And I was embarrassed. Even at sixth grade, I was completely embarrassed. I felt ridiculous, and I just wanted to quit. And around this corner was the guys' cabins, and that's where I was headed. I wasn't going to the end. I didn't want anybody to see my face. I was going there, packing my bags, hitchhiking home that night. I was done. And my youth pastor caught up with me. He says, "Mark, whatever you do, don't quit." And I remember saying, "Brother Dave, why would I even finish this? It's over." He goes, "Don't quit, Mark. Just finish the race." And I argued with him, and I'm crying. I got snot flying everywhere. I'm miserable. And I said, "It doesn't matter." He goes, "It does matter. Don't quit." And he took off another direction. He didn't stay with me. I'm walking over there, and they're carrying this kid off on his shoulders. I'm completely alone in this camp. And I come around there, and I wanted to go into those cabins, and I thought, "All right, I'll finish the race." And I kept on going, and I got around that final home stretch. There was nobody there but one person, and it was my youth pastor. And the closer I got to him, the more he started, "Come on, Mark, finish strong. You can do it." And in those last, 100 yards or so, I began to jog again, and I began to go, and I tried my best to sprint across that line. And I've thought about that for years to this point. There is someone waiting at your finish line, and he wants you to finish strong. There is much land to be possessed. God's not done with anybody in here. You can all do something for the Lord. Keep your focus on what the Lord sees. What was my third? Trust. Trust the Lord's word, and then strive for the spiritual inheritance. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Focusing, trusting, striving. Finish strong. Lord, I pray that you take this invitation this morning. You would help us to be obedient to you today. Lord, would you touch people's hearts right now, God? You know what they need. And Father, I pray that you do a work in their heart, Lord. Perhaps something I said, like their walk with God, their ministry, something along those things, or even something else, God. But Lord, do a work in our hearts today. And Lord, help us all to want to finish strong the race you've laid out before us. Lord, I pray that this invitation be used for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, in just a moment, the piano is going to begin to play. But is the Lord working in your heart today? Have you felt a tug that comes from the inside of you, from the Holy Spirit? And that's all I'd ask you today. If you have, that you'd listen to the Holy Spirit and you'd respond today. That might mean right there at your pew, just there between you and God, you talk to the Lord yourself right there. It might mean that He says, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to surrender something to me. I want you to give this to me. But you listen to the Lord today. Would you stand where you're at today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As the piano begins to play, if the Lord's touched your heart today, why don't you respond this morning?